And Rick, before you hit the video, if I can just make a... If I can just make a funny really quick. It's been a long 2 weeks, and this morning I asked Tony if he would check my mic because last night it didn't work. And I'm sitting here going, it's not working. Tony, it's not working. And I'm checking on the antenna. It's not working, Tony, it's not working. And he pointed out I had to actually be talking in this for it to work. So I'm going to ask for your grace this morning because I have a feeling I'll miss a few points. But just to start off, my name is Megan Rush. If we haven't met, I am the Associate Pastor of Discipleship and honored to be. We are in a series called The Bucket List, 6 Keys to a Life of Significance. And today is a message that I actually asked when we were deciding on sermon series if I could deliver this one, because friendship is something that is very, very dear to my heart and very important. And go ahead, Rick. No one told you that was gonna be this way. People know the show. Okay, I'm so glad to see that actually, because I asked the teenagers a couple weeks ago and they all looked at me like, what? Friends? Is that one of those Netflix shows that like they made it and it made me feel super old? And so this show is a show I loved. My 40th birthday in August was a friend-themed birthday party. I've only had one item on my travel bucket list, and that was to go to New York City. And I grew up in upstate New York, and I'd never been to New York City. And in September, my two best friends took me there, and we got to what we thought was the Friends Fountain. We jumped in front of it, and actually, if you've seen the show, they actually do this jump in front of it. And it, as it turned out, and my best friend on Friday said, don't say that, but I'm going to anyway. It actually turns out that that fountain is actually on the Warner Studios lot in California, and it's not even in Central Park, and the guy in Central Park told us that was the fountain. And I knew it because I watched the show way too many times, and that's a gray fountain, and the fountain he had us take a picture in front of was black, and we tipped him. So I'm kind of want to go back and find it, but that's a whole different story. All right, so this show has always been something I've watched for 20 years, and I don't even know if I'd recommend it to anyone anymore. It's kind of dated and not great. But someone asked me this week, why is that show so important to you? And obviously they hadn't seen the show, so. But I got thinking about it, and it's because it represents something different to me. It's a show that, at first when I think about it, it's 6 people who started the show, and 10 years later it ended the show. They'd gone through all of these things together, fights and babies and marriages and breakups and all this stuff together through thick and thin. When the rain starts to fall, I'll be there for you, because you're there for me too. And it's also a show that in lonely times, it was almost made me feel like I had friends too. Because for me, friends have always been important. Like I said, I grew up in upstate New York, and until I was in 8th grade, I had the same friends. And then we moved to the West Coast. I went to 6 different schools in 4 years. You learn how to have either you sink or you swim. You learn how to make friends quick and keep them, or you sink. I've been on my own mostly since I was 14. Almost like a work ethic, I learned to be a really good employee because I needed to keep a job, I needed to pay rent, I needed to have food. And the same thing with friendship. I tried really hard to keep the friends I had. When I was about 18 or 19, I had a studio apartment. And so living on your own and coming home every night by yourself, sometimes it sucks. And I would leave the TV on And when I came home from work, this show would be on. And when I was thinking about it this week, that's kind of what this show represents to me. I'd come home and the show would be on and I felt like there was people there. And throughout my life, I've had different sets of friends and it's been wonderful, but there's been also times when it's been super lonely. And sometimes some of those friends weren't great. And I've had to learn that there's different, there's hurts and there's pains. And I think I learned also that there was walls there, that I didn't let people come in a certain place, that I had friends and maybe call them acquaintances, but there was a certain place that I just didn't let people come in. And it wasn't until, and I know many of you have heard this story, I came to Columbia Grove and I got involved in a connection group. And I'm pretty extroverted, and I went to the connection group thinking, I know all kinds of people, I'm going to connect them. And God had a super different plan for me. Because I've considered myself a Christian my whole life, but I'm not sure that my relationship was there with Jesus as much. I think it was more of a one-sided relationship. I would pray, but it wasn't necessarily a two-way street as much. And in this connection group, there was 10 of us, and then out of that, 4 of us started another one, and it just ended up being the 4 of us. What seemed like coincidence, and clearly it was not. It was God's hand. And I even remember, we had started our own family, I'd gotten married, and my husband and I had a child, and I was just praying God would send the right friends into my life. We didn't have a lot of family around, and so the four of us became family. We've raised our children together. We're now 12 years in. My relationship with Christ came from these friendships too. It grew. We prayed together. We cried together. It took years for us to really trust and invest in one another, but we pushed each other spiritually. I became secure in Christ through this relationship. God worked through these relationships. And even through there, I let walls down that I never let down before, and I let people in, into that closer place because I could trust them and they were safe. We shared, we were vulnerable with one another. And the more secure I got, the more I realized I could be safe with other people too. And the more secure I realized that even if someone hurt me, even if something happened, even if I got betrayed, that I still had Jesus. Amen. That I could know that I would never be left or forsaken in Him. Amen. And that even though I knew that I had God before, it felt more secure through these friendships. And just one friendship can change the course of your life. And I know I speak from a place that mine had. Had I continued to go through with some of the friends that I had before, they're lovely, lovely people, but we weren't going down the right roads. And just from one prayer with God, this is what He gave me. And I've heard the statement that says, "Show me your friends, I'll show you your future." And I look at my friends and I'm like, wow, my future is bright. Like, holy moly. Because these women have helped me become something I never thought imaginable. We have raised our children together. We have been at funerals together. We have been at weddings. We've been at soccer games of each of our kids. My kids call the other moms their second moms, and I love it. Some people call it refrigerator rights, where you can go in someone's house and just open the refrigerator and it's not super creepy. Because you know you've had that person that's come in your house and you're like, what are you doing? I call it coffee and fruit snacks rights. Because it's the friends that can come in, they just get in your Keurig while they're talking to you and they're getting the creamer. And the kids just go in the corner cabinet and get the fruit snacks and no one needs to ask anybody for it. Those are the friends. The friends you literally can call at 2 o'clock in the morning and they'll come get you. Actually, if I called one of them at 2 o'clock, if I call them, period, they're answering the phone like, what's wrong? Who died? Because I don't call anybody. But if I texted them at 2 o'clock in the morning, they're texting right back. They're picking it up. And vice versa. This is a two-way street. But these friendships came in time. These friendships of trust, they came in time, and it took action. It took having to do something. But first, in deep, developing these deep friendships, it starts with us and having to take a look at ourselves. Because to have these deep, developing relationships, I mentioned it last week with forgiveness, and I had a couple people question me about the odor I talked about. It's hard to explain, but sometimes you meet someone and there's this odor you don't know how to explain. There's something about, I can't get too close. And oftentimes, it's because there is some unforgiveness. I know it was with me. I didn't want to let anyone right in here. I'll let you here, and I'll be your friend here. But here, there were things I needed to forgive. There were the walls that I had learned I had to live to survive. And I had to go through my own forgiveness. I had to sit down with God and go through and figure out the ways. Why was I not letting people in? That's the first step. And whether that's places of forgiveness that you need to search out with God, or those places that you need to search of forgiving other people. But first and foremost is realizing your relationship with Christ and how much he loves you and how much he cares for you and how much he has already forgiven you. Amen. That he has died for your sins. All of it is gone. Your shame is gone. That anything that anyone wants to try to tell you, you have already, all that condemnation has already been pinned to that cross. It's done. You can tell them it's over. Amen. That's the first and foremost thing, is our security in Christ. That those thoughts need to be taken away. Because we can't be fulfilled by anyone else. So our relationships, whether it's with our spouse or with anyone else, we have to be fulfilled in Christ first. Amen. Because if we're trying to get a relationship filled by anyone else, it's going to end miserably. So it's the first place we have to start. The second place, we have to start being the friend that God wants us to be. Someone this past week said to me, well, I need to be the friend that I want. And I thought about that, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that my friends don't want, I don't know how to articulate this well, but my friends don't want me to be me to them. Let me just explain that for a second. God, it's funny how he puts these friends. So my closest friends, and I'm still not completely sure how this works, but are introverts. And I'm an extrovert. Fairly extreme extrovert. And when I look at them, I've had to learn, they have taught me about what it means to be an introvert. So, if one of them was up here for some reason, which probably wasn't going to happen, but if they were, and they said, and I was sitting out there, and they said, hey, Megan, would you stand up and tell us all about our friendship? I'd go, yeah, let me tell you how great they are. If I said that to one of them that's sitting out here right now, they wouldn't do it, and they would kill me. This godly, wonderful woman would kill me. So they don't want that. Shouldn't happen, right? We need to be the friend that God wants us to be. So if you're sitting there right now and you have this kind of friendship and you're thinking, well, I don't need this information. I know how important this is. Let me just, right now, we can all be better friends. And that I'm going to give you a couple keys to being, developing deep friendship and maybe even being a better friend. Take a look at them. I'm hoping one or two things might convict you a little bit. I know it has me, because there's a few things that I struggle with often of being self-aware. Because I'm not going to win Best Friend of the Year award ever. The other thing is, too, is if you are good at this and friendship is important to you, please help other people do it. And the reason is because our society is trying to disconnect us. And I'm making this sound like the man's trying to. Honestly, I believe Satan's trying to get into this. Our spouses, if we are married, awesome relationships, and we should be close. God, Jesus, our spouses, and then our friendships. But female and female relationships and men relationships, we have to make time for those. Your spouse actually needs you to do this. And I believe we're too busy. We're not making time for it. Because there are things you need to discuss with your friends. Your friends need to keep you accountable. And we're going to go through some of those things. But I know in my own marriage, talking to my friends when we have struggled has strengthened my marriage. I'm not actually even sure, to be completely honest with you, where would we be with in my marriage had I not had my godly friends to strengthen me, to pray with me, to lead me in the right direction. It is powerful that we are sharpening iron with one another when we are lifting each other up and keeping each other accountable, and when we're being honest with one another. Because in our society, we are the most connected society that has ever been before. But we are the most relationally poor that we have ever been before. Because we can call, we can text, email anybody under the planet right now, here and now. On Facebook, we can get on there, we can, with our 1,000 friends, we can post and get 600 likes. Look how cool I am. But we aren't face-to-face. And we aren't having Sunday dinners, and we're not having people over. And the more we're not doing that, the harder it is to actually do it. And we're asking someone to coffee, and then they're not showing up, and not showing up, it's easier just to text and say, hey, I can't make it. And 10 years ago, the average person had 6 close friends. Someone that, the close friends, and I keep doing this, but that to me represents, like, not, you know, like, hey, I know you, you're great. The people who you really will share your heart with, 6 people. Today, the average is 2. 10 years ago, 6. Today, 2. And 25% of those people, 0. And I can attest to that. I talk to, I have a big mouth, dozens, probably 100 people. Like, I stop people in the grocery store. From here to the community to counseling office, I mean, I will tell you, I'm actually shocked it's not more than 25%. People are lonely, and they need a friend, and they don't just need someone to say hi to them on Sunday morning at church. They need someone who will invest in them. And if you're good at it, and you have friends, it does make you more secure, and people do get more attracted to you. Help them do it. Help connect other people, whether that's leading a connection group or that's helping you, like, hey, I see you have this hobby, and so do you, and bring people together. If you've been hurt before, I get it. It's hard. It's hard to put yourself out there. I'm just asking you even today, and I'll ask a little harder a little later in the sermon. But just ask God that one prayer. I feel like mine just started with one prayer. That he would open up your heart today, that he would send that one person. As we look at how a couple keys, and I'm just going to give you three keys to developing deep friendship and to being the friend that God wants you to be invested, to be trustworthy, and to be loving. And we see biblical examples throughout the Old and New Testament. Jesus is a great one. He gives us plenty of them, but the first one in my mind is, come follow me, right? His disciples dropped everything to come with him. He didn't say, like, hey, text me this week sometime or email me and, hey, I can't make it. He said, come follow me. Let's live life together. Let's do this together. And then even in that, he had his smaller group that really shared life even further. David and Jonathan are another great example. You can read further in 1 Samuel about their relationship. They were quick friends in God. King Saul, Jonathan was his son. And David was to be the king. Saul didn't know that at the time. And Jonathan handed over his own kingly clothes to Jonathan. They were trustworthy. They were loving. Jonathan even had to choose between his father and David at one point and did. When we look at be invested, it involves action in your friendship. Spend time with each other. I know sometimes that's hard, and sometimes it might be a couple weeks, but be invested and spend time with each other. Show up when you say you will. I know this one is actually probably, this one's kind of my own issue. When I have really close friends, that's how I know I can trust you. If we say we're going to meet at 5 o'clock on Friday, and you text me at 4 o'clock and say, hey, just not feeling it, that tells me that you're not safe, if I'm being honest. After a couple of those, I have to almost push you out into more of just a friend. I was talking to a close friend of mine, and talking about agreements you have in friendship. Once you've had some time together and you are close, is having these agreements with one another. That's something for me that's important. And I know that's probably a deeper issue for me. A friend of mine, and when we had that kind of conversation, for her, it's not sharing with anyone else what we talked about. For me, that's not a big deal. But finding out what those important things are and understanding in that friendship what it is, to feel safe in that friendship. Share life together. Like I was saying earlier, with my children, we don't have a whole lot of family, so to have someone show up at my kids' sports events feels incredible. To share holidays together is awesome. Share the life together. And help each other grow in faith. How is your Bible study going? Or do a Bible study together. How is your devotional? Ask them how their walk goes. Be trustworthy. And this is important, vulnerable. I feel like sometimes this is easier for women than men. I feel like our society tells men that they have to be strong all the time, and showing weakness is unacceptable and that's wrong. That when men can come together and be to share life together and to be honest about what's going on with one another, that is a gift. It's essential to trust each other without judgment or criticism, and that this won't be used against you. So when you are able to come to a place where you can trust each other and share, that you get in a fight or it's a bad day, that it won't be stabbed in your back later. And that you're able to be yourself and honest, even if that means you're a little weird and off, which aren't we all a little bit? You should be able to be that with your friends. Be weird and crazy. But accept them for what they are. I always say we all come with a big drop of grace, right? And sometimes we forget that you come with it and I come with it. It's a two-way street. Be loving through thick and thin. Support each other in your struggles. And want the best for each other. I think this is where I found you really know you have a true friend. Because even when they're the best is happening to them, and maybe not the best is happening to you, you know you truly love them when you are just cheering them on. Love them through the best and love them through the worst. And forgive each other when problems do arise. So when problems come, go straight to them and work it through. You might not fix it right away, but when you love someone, you still work it through. This is the great thing about friendship, is you do learn conflict resolution, and you work through it together. And keep each other accountable, telling the truth in love. This is a hard one, especially if you're a pleaser, especially if you don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. But the best thing we can do in love is to be able to tell our friends when they're going the wrong way. We have to tell our friends and keep them accountable when we see things that we know that is not good for them. It's so important. A friend loves at all time, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. And I actually was asked if Dave Belton and Tony Jones could come up. And the reason is there's topics like forgiveness and other things that are pretty gender neutral. These three keys of friendship are, but the way that I am with my girlfriends and the way that men are, and men are with their, are different. Are different. I would just ask Tony and Dave, I've known them both for a long time, and I've just asked if they would just share a little bit about their friendship and how God has worked through them, and even just how God has strengthened your own relationship with him through your relationship.
I'm going to go first. I'll wait if I say something you wanted to. Dave and I met Dave when I first started coming to Columbia Grove 5 years ago at school. And, you know, I was the guy who came in, sat in the back row, when service was over, I bailed. Okay. And Dave was the guy who said, the second time I tried that, stepped in front of the door so I could not leave. You know, and more or less just kind of reached out to me. And the relationship we have today, I'm 5 years. If you look at the course of a lifetime, that's really not that long. But I feel in 5 years that I've known Dave, I grew up with Dave. Okay, we've been through the good, we've been through the bad, we've been through the happy, we've been through all the time in the world together, to lately, honestly, a little conviction, to not having as much time together. You know, in the process of trying to get all my ducks in a row, you know, we haven't had the time together that we used to have. We've been dinner and Christmas vacation movies. But with Dave, you know, it is hard for guys to be like super close, I think. But when you have that true friend, sometimes I think that Dave's got the short end of the stick. Because I mean, he's seen me on all stages. He's seen me in the really good times, but he has also seen me in some of the most broken, irritated, angry, tears, you name it, times. But if I was going to show that to anybody, I would show it to Dave. Because, you know, all those things that Megan had up there on the slides, the trustworthy, the love, the you name it, I can't remember them, but they were all good.
Thank you, Tony.
A true friend is that, and that's what Dave is. You can be yourself. Without fear of, oh man, Tony came over and he was so mad on Facebook. Or Tony came over and he was blubbering like a baby, you know, being sent out on multiple texts or Twitter or whatever that stuff is. I don't do any of that stuff, by the way, so don't Facebook me because I'm not found anywhere. But through Dave, I do see Christ. Because Dave shows me Christ's love all the time. And that could be whether I just saw him yesterday, or that could be whether we haven't spoke for a month. That guy that you call at 2 o'clock, guys, you need to find him. Because I can call Dave, or Dave can call me, and we're there. And like I said, it doesn't matter the time span in between. Because that's what a friend does. And that is, that's just who we are together. He's amazing. You know, he's my best friend. So,
yeah. Tom, how do you follow that?
I just gonna say,
done. Drop the mic.
Talk now.
Okay, good to see you. I mirror what you say because it's funny that I'm not really a very good extrovert at all. I'm probably lean towards more the introvert. My wife is a social butterfly, and she's the one that usually introduces me to people. But for some reason, it's the hand. Yeah. 5 years ago when Tony came to the church in the school there, and there was just something, he sat right on the edge so he could get out quick. And at the time, I think you were working part-time for a tow truck company. So he was trying to be as inobtrusive as he could in this uniform that had bright green stripes on it. And made him stand out. And I just felt this tug from God that said, you really need to get to know this guy. He looks like he can use a print. And I think that's probably one of the few times that I actually initiated that contact and didn't come through Linda introducing me to somebody. So, yeah, it's amazing. Tony and I laugh that we are brothers from a different mother because we are so close in our thought patterns and the things that we say and do and the way we were brought up and raised. And it's one of those relationships that I have total trust in anything that I tell Tony. I know he's got my back. I know that he's sympathetic. He may not agree with my feelings on it, but he's going to listen and have an open heart towards what I have to say. And I think a lot of the times, people have this feeling that God is this taskmaster and you have to do these things in this order in order for God to love you. And that's so not true. And I see, like Tony mentioned about seeing Christ in someone, Christ loves you no matter what. I mean, he has this love for you like a father has for a child. And you don't have to be this perfect child. He accepts you for what you are. And that's the way our relationship is. Tony, he totally accepts all the problems that I have and the flaws that I have. And we can move on from that and just have a great time together.
You have flaws.
Yeah, I floss every morning. Oh, flaws, yes. No, I think that's our relationship in Christ is stronger. My relationship in Christ is stronger because I can have somebody like this that shows the love of Christ to me every day.
Awesome. Thank you, you guys. And that's exactly that we have to be vulnerable to someone else, and we have to be able to have that on both. And it takes action. And that's part of what I wanted to end with today, is that it takes a step and it takes action. It doesn't just happen. So part of that action can be in prayer and handing that over to God and seeking that out. Part of what I wanted to give you, this is so important to me. And actually, I wanted to end on what one part that Dave had said there too. In our friendships that they don't know Christ, it is our duty, just to end on that too, it's our duty to actually share that with them as well. And I know that's not always easy, and sometimes it feels super, super difficult and a huge weight. Actually, somebody this week had mentioned the fact that when we say the name of Jesus Christ, the temperature in the room changes, and he's absolutely correct. I've felt that many times myself, but it is our duty still in love to still be able to mention the name of Jesus to our friends and our family. And the next step today, I wanted to give you a couple things. Again, I am so invested in this that I am like, I feel like I'm going to like be selling something to you here. Like, I need some knives up here that I'm going to, and if you do act today. All right. So one thing, okay, one today. I'm having a potluck at my house. This is how invested I am. Plus, I love potluck. So 6 o'clock tonight, my house is right up the hill. You just go straight up the hill, okay, and you hit my house. At 6 o'clock, I'm making a pasta penne pasta. That wasn't right. Sausage penne pasta. 6 o'clock tonight. I'd love to have you come over. It's a great way to meet new people, mingle, and get to know a few people. Connection groups. You can find our connection groups currently. We're going to add a few more this week. ColumbiaGrove.org. We'd love to have you in those. And then I'm going to pitch something to you. Something I've been working on. This is really silly, so please go along with me. I come up with really silly things, but I am willing to do anything short of sin to get you to connect with somebody. And I wanted to just make this before I pitch this to you, okay? I mentioned this to my friend this morning. We were both at a mutual friend's gathering, And I overheard her say something about wanting to do a triathlon, and so I went over and said, hey, I really wanted to do a triathlon. We've been best friends for 8 years now. Just over one little connection, okay? So I really feel like you can make a connection with somebody and just finding something that you can connect over and then taking it from there. And again, it takes time, I know, but sometimes it's a simple little connection. I'm calling it friend speed dating, okay? It's not creepy, and it's not to find you a date. Just so we're clear on those two things, okay? Right after church, right after the song, that's what those tables are for. All you have to do is sit. Sit at the table and give me like 12, 15 minutes. You'll sit at the table. I have this all set, okay? I'm working on this for 2 months, okay? I know. Please. I'm not going to guilt you into this. Please. All you do is sit at the table. There'll be tables for the kids. Miss Mary's going to take care of the kids and do the same sort of thing for them. There is a white dot on one side. The people with the white dot are going to read the card to the people across the way. I'll ring a bell. You'll read the card. They'll answer it. It's a connection. You'll read, like, hey, you know, what's your favorite animal? They'll answer it. Bell will ring. The other person will read. You'll know someone now. You'll know their name. You'll know what animals they like. Then the bell will ring again, and you'll move one seat over, and you get to meet someone else. You possibly could meet 3 or 4 new people today. You could possibly meet your new best friend today and get a free set of knives. I just lied. I'm sorry. I take that back. Okay. I really believe this. Like I said, my life changed. The walls came down in me when I handed over my own life to God in friendship. The course of my life. I know I'm not on the stage because I am on the stage. What is happening to me today? I know that I'm on this stage because of my godly friendships. I know I am. The course of my life changed because of the commitment that I have had in these relationships and they have had on mine. Would you pray with me today? Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity in love and investment and trustworthiness in our friends. And I just pray that if there is anyone today that has these godly friendships, and I know that there are, Lord, we just thank you for them. And we pray for the ministry that happens when they help others connect and they feel secure in their friendships and in you. And Father, I pray that we first come to you as our best friend, that you make us secure, that you would continue to remind us who we are in you, and that we're able to reach out to those around us. And Father, for those who are needing that person, their person, Lord, that you would open their heart to that, that you would send someone new, that they would make a connection even here today, Father. Lord, I just ask that you would open our hearts to that you would give us a new connection today, this week, that our hearts would be open to you. And Father, thank you so much for allowing friendship to change our lives, that godly friendship in you strengthen us, let us be vulnerable, and let us be able to see Christ in you through them. And Father, we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.